This is Rutherford Issues, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. From Murfreesboro to Smyrna, Eagleville to Laverne, Leanna to Barfield, and everywhere in between. If it matters to you, you'll hear about it in the next hour here on Rutherford Issues. Now your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, hey, hi, and hello there, fun lovers and truth seekers. Brian Barrett coming to you live from the Sam Davis home this morning as we broadcast North Rutherford County edition of Rutherford Issues today. State Representative Mike Sparks will be on the way. He is doing his duty there in Nashville and is making his way here today. And we're going to be talking about Confederate Scout DeWitt Smith Jobe this morning, and doing that from a pretty neat setting here at the Sam Davis home. I want to thank Meredith for having us out. Greg Tucker, Al Anderson all joining us today. And who knows, Mike usually has a surprise guest or two or three or ten. So we'll see who shows up today here on the program right before we get to the Clark Howard Show at 11 o'clock. And at 1, Financial Coaching Radio with Jason Qualls. At 2 o'clock, it's all sports talk. And at 3, Sports Night with George and the gang. So we will have all of that on the air for you here on WGNS coming up today. This evening, the Raiders will host Arkansas State in men's basketball action. The Lady Raiders taking care of business last night, and it's the men's turn this evening. Arkansas State coming to town. Our pregame at 6:30, and the tip-off is at 7 o'clock this evening. A check of your weather forecast quickly here. 52 degrees right now in Smyrna, and looking for a slight chance of showers today. And then tonight we've got showers likely moving in the area, but a low of 43 and a 40% chance of showers, mainly early tomorrow, and a high near 50. So mild temperatures, even milder on Saturday, and Sunday up to the low 60s, it appears. But a cool off coming next week. But we're cooling off to the 40s and not the 30s and bitter cold. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and meant to mention John Moore here as well. So we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of folks here to introduce, and some conversation to be had here from the Sam Davis home as you listen to Rutherford Issues, the North Rutherford County edition, back here in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
The Rutherford County School Resource Officer Division proudly announces its 8th annual rodeo, being held at Miller Coliseum on Thompson Lane, Murfreesboro, March 1st and 2nd. Tickets are available through any school resource officer or call 904-3070.
We're at the Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street across from the tall NHC building, talking with Christy Sanford.
Instead of it just being rows and rows of just shirts and pants, we try to make it more in sections, so we'll have like a houseware section, and we try to set up more display areas.
Donations to the Garden Patch Thrift Store and proceeds from sales help fund Greenhouse Ministries, a faith-based nonprofit helping underserved in our community.
We are located at 309 South Spring Street,
across from the tall NHC building.
Here's Frank LaPetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church.
After high school, Darryl Blizzard left the orphanage where he grew up to join the U.S. Army Air Corps. World War II was in full swing. He told a reporter years later that a 4-mule plow team was the biggest thing he had ever driven before he became the pilot of a B-17. Now in his late 80s, he said, "We were all just kids flying those things." In the Bible, we find accounts of many people who followed God courageously when they were young. Samuel ministered before the Lord. Even as a child, David faced the giant Goliath in spite of being told, "You are not able to go against this Philistine. You're just a youth." This is Frank LaPetri, the pastor of the Holly Grove Baptist Church. God values each one of his family. In his strength, the young can be bold in their faith, while those who are older can encourage those who are just kids.
Be sure to visit our website, hollygrovebaptist.com.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
We're the station that focuses on things on your mind, WGNS, and this is Rutherford Issues.
You might pull that up just a little bit. And we are back here at the Sam Davis Home. Brian Barrett joined by a cast of thousands. Some great, fun guests here. Greg Tucker, I really don't know how to introduce you because, you know, you're like a radio regular now. It's kind of interesting to talk to you here in a different setting. And I know Truman's going to be very jealous.
Well, don't tell Truman.
Don't tell Truman? Well, maybe he's not listening in. He doesn't have a long attention span. You talked about the subject matter today is DeWitt Smith Job. How did this all come about? What are we doing here today?
We probably ought to do a little background. Our topic, Job, is a very important figure in Rutherford County during the Civil War, but not often addressed or not one that a lot of people are even aware of. A little background first. The Coleman Scouts were essentially the spy division for General Bragg and the Tennessee Army, the Army of Tennessee. I believe Mike Sparks has come in looking like an undertaker. Good grief, look at that black outfit.
He is an undertaker sometimes.
What are you undertaking this morning, Mike?
Good to be here. Thanks for y'all coming up.
So the Confederate Scout. So
yeah, the Coleman Scouts.
Is that where the name Coleman's Bluff and all that came from?
Well, Coleman was not even the name of the fellow that was in charge. That was the name he hid behind because he was concealing his real identity, probably planning ahead for after the war. But the Coleman Scouts were recruited from Bragg's ranks to work the area behind the Yankee lines and provide information. And, of course, back in those days, the information was passed word of mouth or by paper, and then someone had to hightail it back to the command to deliver it. And the Coleman Scouts were recruited. A fellow named Shaw was actually the head of the group. He was a former steamboat captain and had been a school teacher in the Smyrna, North Rutherford area. In fact, some have said that Sam Davis had been one of his students. They recruited the scouts. They had several conditions. Number one, they wanted somebody young in their 20s. He had to be a very able and skilled horseman. And they also very deliberately recruited only unmarried, no family, because it was very high risk. They didn't want them to be hesitant because of concerns about a family. And they had to know the Middle Tennessee, this upper Middle Tennessee area. They had to know the terrain. They had to know the people and the locales and such as that. There's one list that shows that over a period of time, there probably was something around 40, 50 that served at one time or another in it. Job himself was originally in the infantry and I think participated in a couple of battles, Battle of Stones River as well, was injured before. He was recruited and he was originally from a community called Mechanicsville, which is over on the western extreme, kind of the northwestern extreme over near the Williamson County line. Now, his father is an interesting story too, Elihu. Who was, I believe he came over from Murray County. I'm looking at one of my colleagues here, Mr. Moore. Came in from Murray County. He was a cabinet maker, a skilled artisan, and I have also read some theories that the community of Mechanicsville was so named because of his activity. He not only made wood materials, he also produced cotton gins, plow points, such as that, and had a number of people working for him. Mechanicsville's disappeared off the map. Can you locate it pretty much?
Today it's Rocky Fork.
Yeah, it's Rocky Fork now.
So is that Rutherford County's Rocky Fork? I mean, yeah. I know where it kind of comes together. Yeah. So that's the Mechanicsville.
Yeah. Now, huh? Well, that name has disappeared off the maps completely, but it is about where we call the Rocky Fork community now.
Well, several communities have changed the name.
Oh, well, yes.
Blackman was Wilkinson Crossroads at one time.
That's right, back in the Civil War period.
Well, they've brought some of that back with the naming of the old roads. I mean, the newer streets. I know that there's a Wilkerson Pike in that area, and also I think maybe one of the apartment complexes is named the Wilkerson Crossing or something like that.
That's right.
Well, we need to name something Mechanicsville.
Yeah, get that, out in Rocky Fork.
Name back in there. The role of the scouts we described, and it was very hazardous because the, how do you say, I hate to use the word, but the etiquette back then, a spy was subject to execution if the other side caught and could prove he was a spy. So Shaw, with his nom de plume, so to speak, as Coleman, usually was in regular military outfit. So, you know, if captured, which in fact he was, he could pass himself off as regular army, regular infantry, and perhaps survive. And it's interesting that Shaw did get captured. In fact, even was in the same prison area down in Pulaski as Sam Davis.
Right.
And spent the rest of the war, I think, as a POW, didn't he?
Up in northern Ohio. I believe there was an island where they kept the officers.
Right. And he didn't come back in the area until after the war.
That's right.
That's right. If any of the others of you want to pick up on specifically Job, what I found interesting, and this is not to take it all from the history and our appreciation of Sam Davis, but really if you just step back and look at them, their contribution was very much on a par. They both are and should be revered for their loyalty to the cause and their loyalty to their colleagues and their willingness to die rather than to compromise either the identity or the cause as such. A major difference is Sam Davis died with dignity. He was at the hands of the military and was even given a chance to be blindfolded, hooded, and was hung with the usual ceremony.
Let me ask you one thing here, because you mentioned that these Coleman scouts, they, you know, had no family, so that they could serve without worry, I guess. But Sam had family. They weren't part of the same Coleman scouts, or were they?
He had family, but he had a mother and father and siblings.
So we're not talking about wife and children.
We didn't have a wife and child, and I'm sure you can understand the difference in the the feelings of responsibility and such there.
His brother, John Davis, half-brother he was in the Coleman Scouts too. You go downtown Smyrna at the depot, there's a photograph of some of the Coleman Scouts.
Mm-hmm. Was this taken, I know, about 1867, 68, they got together. And I think in part they were motivated by the fact that they realized that what they had been doing was not being documented or recorded, or, you know, the Army annals would not reflect. And they got together. And from that, we have a list. They attempted to list everyone. And reading about that listing, it's incomplete because even the scouts didn't know for sure everybody else who was a scout.
That was a scout.
Time.
Oh, okay.
An intriguing thing, and many have looked, who was it that Sam Davis was protecting? Well, one of them was Shaw, because he was right there with him. But his source, we've read speculation, was a woman, one of his sources, and a woman who could move rather freely back and forth and providing information. And I wonder, Job, of course, also would not reveal. I wonder if maybe it was the same contact that he had been relying on. But you read of the mystery woman, and some have speculated as to who it was.
Now, was this mystery woman, was she in a position, her job position, I guess, if you will, that allowed her to kind of infiltrate both sides?
Her father was a doctor, and she had a pass so she could go through the lines.
Ah.
And she worked the Nashville side a little bit. And
when the scouts wanted to go into Nashville, she would ride down the road and find out where the pickets were stationed.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the scouts started in, then, you know, between here and Nashville, you know, it's kind of rolling country. So they'd know where the pickets were. They'd take through the woods and go around and go into town. That's the way they would get around the pickets.
Mike, pick up that microphone here. And now that we've gotten a little background here of DeWitt Smith Job, what's the fascination here? I mean, you put these shows together.
Well, what it is, and, you know, and Brian knows I do some crazy things sometimes.
We have to try to find out the inner workings of Mike's mind
all right.
here.
Well, a lot of times they all come to fruition, and they're not so crazy after all. But I was just at the, you know, I wanted a new office at the Capitol, and I just told let Speaker and Chief Staff know, hey, if I can get a window view of Sam Davis Monument and the Capitol, just if you'd honor me with it, I'd appreciate it. Well, they got me this office on the second floor. I probably got the best view. Thank God for it. And I've always been fascinated with Sam Davis and his legacy. And I started reading a little bit about, and then I come across this story that was in the Murfreesboro Post, I guess. And I just put that on Facebook, and I odd that I put that on there. So where's he buried at? Because it said something about Morton Road. And I had two or three people respond. Al here responded. We walked up and seen the grave and the cemetery, and you know, our angle was just want to kind of clean the cemetery up. Sons Confederate veterans, they were out here last week doing some work. They said they would help, and a little Civil Air Patrol kids, they said they would clean up. So we're just trying to organize something like that. But I kind of thought, why don't we hear this story? We hear a Sam Davis, with all due respect. And what I'm kind of surmising when I talk to people, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, is that someone took the initiative for Sam Davis. And I think it was the editor of the National Banner or something back then.
Oh, it was a fellow named Kennedy. He actually was a Yankee collaborator.
And, okay.
I think there's kind of a universal lesson here. Sam Davis had a Boswell. Boswell is an English character who wrote the first biography. And he wrote it about a fellow who probably would have been forgotten, Samuel Johnson, except for the biography.
Yeah.
Kennedy was in this area. He'd come down with the Yankee armies. He and his family were close friends and allies of the commanding general of the occupying forces up in Nashville. He obviously was a man with at least a good heart and a good head, because he took sympathy on the Sam Davis family. Yeah. And he was the one that got the permission to go through the lines to go get the body, and was able to talk directly to those people who were present when Sam Davis was executed, and got, as he told it, a very strong feeling for the respect that the enemy had for Sam Davis and his willing to die when being given the opportunity to live if he would just disclose information.
Yes.
He came back and told the story. He's the same fella who later organized the fundraise, we call it now a fundraising campaign, to build the statue that you see out your window.
Yes, sir.
And he also wrote the story that appeared in the media back in the 1890s and such, telling the story of Sam Davis. Job Smith, whose contribution and distinction, I think, is clearly on a par, and perhaps because of the way he was treated at his death, might even be a more interesting story. Didn't have a Boswell, did not have someone who did that for him. And so it was years before a collection of different family stories. And if you look at the Sam Davis story, it's a pretty good line story. And if you see it in different sources, it's pretty much the same story. Job Smith, I've found three different descriptions of the way he was treated. It's fair to say he was captured, badly tortured, and killed. But you can find different details, even different details about what became of his body and how, you know, where was it when it was recovered and such as that. Tom, why don't you, John Moore, why don't you give us a little bit about just how he died and what happened?
Well, start off with, DeWitt Job was, his sister was my great-grandmother, so that's how I got into it. But he was... These scouts had to sleep in the day and travel at night and stay off the roads. He had breakfast with the family over in Williamson County, and the federal soldiers found him, and they tried to get him to tell what he knew. He wouldn't talk. The papers that he had, he'd chew them up and spit them out so that they couldn't tell what they were. So Now, there's several different, like you said, Greg, there's several different things that it's been told several ways. But they first put a rope around his neck and pulled it over a limb and tried to just strangle him till he would make him talk.
Near hanging.
Yeah, just a way to torture him. Well, when they found his body, His eyes had been gouged out, and his fingers were broken. His tongue was cut out. And the way they killed him, they tied a rope around his neck and tied it to a horse and let the horse just run until it strangled him. Now, we don't know whether all this mutilation took place before they killed him or whether they just did that to his body. I've talked to several family members, the older people, and they all had a different idea about it.
Yeah, one account has him being ultimately hung and found hanging when they recovered the body, and then the other, as you said, was the dragging behind the horse.
So no one really knows exactly what happened.
In fact, there's even three different accounts of how he was found. One is he was left lying in a field, and a family, a neighbor, a couple came by, and it tells of the woman laying the handkerchief over his face, right, which means he was prostrate. Yeah. The other is that they had to cut him down off where he was hung, and then one has they threw the body in a sinkhole, and Frank Job, the slave who was sent from the family, had to recover the body from the sinkhole. So you can see the variations as to, you know, how the story's told. But very clearly, he was tortured, brutalized in an effort to get information. He refused to give the information and was ultimately killed. I read one account where he did have a few words to say about his captors. He was not shy.
We had heard
about calling them what he thought they were. Not just cowards, but,
Well, from my understanding, the captors had made mention after they got back to their encampment that they had made the comment that he was the bravest man that they had ever known because he had endured so many torturous events, in this process.
Well, one part of the story which is interesting is that obviously there was some remorse because it was the Yankee soldiers who advised the family of what had happened and told them where they could find the body.
Greg Tucker, Al Anderson, who just spoke, and we haven't heard from him the whole show, so we're going to find out. We're going to talk in the second half hour. We've got to take a quick break. John Moore joining us here, as well as State Representative Mike Sparks, as we broadcast live from the Sam Davis home, talking about Confederate Scout DeWitt Smith Job. And we're going to continue this conversation on the other side here in just a couple. Also, a bit of breaking news this morning. We understand that Stewart's Creek High School has a brand new football coach, brand new high school, obviously, and the first head coach will be David Martin, the new head football coach, former Good Pasture coach. We'll have more on that as the day goes along. But Mike Huckabee coming up next here in just a couple as you listen to Rutherford Issues, the North Rutherford County Edition. Back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Norris of Franklin Road Baptist Church. So, what are you looking for in a church? I believe the church is a critical part of life for anyone who wants to grow their personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a place where we can open God's Word together and gain insight into how He wants us to live our lives and how He wants us to minister to those around us. It's where we can find biblical direction that will help us meet the challenges we face in today's life. It also serves as a place where we can draw strength and encouragement from other believers. But most importantly, it is a place where people can find God's purpose and plan for their lives. Here at Franklin Road Baptist Church, we want to help with your relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Visit Franklin Road Baptist Church on the internet at frbc.com. Franklin Road Baptist Church, down the street from Kaysen Lane on Highway 96, which is also known as Franklin Road in Murfreesboro.
This is Dr. Mark Kessner. If you've been considering trying acupuncture for joint pain, headaches, back pain, or other health issues, come visit with us to learn more about how acupuncture can be helpful for you. Acupuncture has been shown to be helpful for literally millions of people worldwide. Patients are often amazed at how comfortable and relaxing the treatment is.
Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. Call 895-1253 to schedule your free consultation with Dr. Mark Kester.
The only thing you have to lose is your pain.
FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450. Now, the Huckabee Report. News and views from Mr. Conservative Mike Huckabee. Brought to you by...
My name is John Cunningham, owner of the Cunningham Financial Group, 895-7773.
My name is John Cunningham, and I'm the managing member of the Cunningham Financial Group based out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. My primary goal is to help clients not only retire comfortably, but also stay comfortably retired. We do this by establishing specific goals, and I simply help my clients find the most efficient ways of accomplishing these goals. Each client receives a complimentary financial analysis addressing retirement and college planning, investment management, insurance planning, estate analysis, and even budgeting strategies. Please contact our office at 895-7773.
Sports the way you like it. Local. All Sports Talk with Buddy Hill and Tim Tackett. Weekdays at 2 on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM. Overnight, every night on WGNS.
This is the Huckabee Report for Thursday. I'm Mike Huckabee. You'd think the one problem Washington could actually solve by throwing money at is poverty. Well, guess again. That story next. Where were you when your identity thief robbed you? Was it the airport Wi-Fi connection last week? The free wireless at your hotel? Maybe that mobile hotspot where you got coffee? An MSN Money story detailed how using Wi-Fi connections can invite identity thieves right in through our smartphones and laptops. We're potentially handing over everything. Bank accounts, social security numbers, passwords, and basically saying, go ahead, destroy my credit and take over my bank accounts. That's why I've got LifeLock Ultimate. It's the only identity theft protection service that monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. It's the line between panic and protection. You can enjoy the peace of mind that comes from arming yourself with LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com/Huckabee for details and my special 10% discount. Or just call 1-800-240-LOCK and use promo code Huckabee to get my special 10% discount. That's 1-800-240-LOCK. 1-800-240-LOCK. 1-800-240-LOCK.
Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary.
Keith Hall is the former head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He's been analyzing census and economic data and made a discovery. Massive government spending on anti-poverty programs doesn't make a dent in the poverty rate. Since the recession began, local, state, and federal spending on the poor has reached a record of over $1 trillion a year. Yet 9 million more people have slipped into poverty. But Hall found that the poverty rate drops 1% for every 2% increase in the number of people working. Despite politicians' claims that entitlement spending boosts the economy, he found no evidence that government handouts reduce poverty. But jobs do. Hall says the answer to reducing poverty isn't more government, but policies that encourage job creation. And this is the Huckabee Report.
Catch Mike Huckabee's views on the day's news every morning and afternoon here on Rutherford County's Place to Talk, WGNS. The Huckabee Report is brought to you by...
My name is John Cunningham, owner of the Cunningham Financial Group, 895-7773.
Do you ever think much about the energy you use at home? Maybe once a month at the mailbox. Ugh. Well, consider this. There's a program out there called Energy Right from TVA and your local power company that thinks about energy for you. Energy efficiency, that is. Because with the Energy Right program, your home uses far less energy, particularly when it's powered by a super high-efficiency heat pump and a hard-working electric water heater. In fact, a home fully outfitted with Energy Right features can cost up to 50% less to heat without sacrificing any comfort. 50% less. Now that's something to think about, especially once a month at the mailbox.
I can live with that.
For more information, call your local power company or visit EnergyRight.com.
This is Amy Byers at Murfreesboro Electric Department. For more information on our Energy Right programs, call 893-5514 or visit MurfreesboroElectric.com.
You don't have hot dogs or apple pie or no Chevrolet to drive, but we have some hickory smoked wings you're just dying to try. You'll try them, you'll like them, you'll give some to a friend. So on a dare, just stop on by and bring in a friend. Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor.
We also have a new library. People from all over is giving us books. We have any kind of book, I guess, that you would want to read, we have in our library.
Stones River Manor, behind Writing, at the intersection of Haines and Memorial. Stop by Stones River Manor for a tour. Ask for Mike Gann. Stones River Manor, it's home.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Morning News with Scott Walker. Weekday mornings, 6:30 to 7:50 on WGNS. AM, FM, online. Rutherford Issues. We're everywhere you need to be. The Good Neighbor Network. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
And we welcome you back to Rutherford Issues as we continue here on a Thursday from the Sam Davis home in Smyrna, our North Rutherford County edition of Rutherford Issues. State Representative Mike Sparks helps to put these programs together and got here this morning. And one person that we have not spoken to as much, Greg Tucker and John Moore are here, but so is Al Anderson. And nothing against our friends John and Greg, but Al, you're just a little younger. You have less hair than both of these guys, but a little younger. So what's your fascination with this whole thing?
Well, what's going on is me and Mike Sparks, we've been childhood friends, and I actually grew up right across the creek here from Sam Davis' home, mm-hmm. and played here many years in my childhood and was always fascinated with Sam Davis. And so Mike had posted on a social network that he was interested in this whole story, and got me interested, and I started questioning a lot of people and finding out as much information as I could. And one of our other childhood friends, when I addressed it with them, they said, yeah, we know exactly where it's at. And so I passed this along to Mike, and we got to talking about it, and we really realized that Sam Davis, he did die with honor. But the story of DeWitt Job had been kind of lost to history. And we, once we really researched it and found how his death had happened and the honor that he had died with, really wanted to bring back some of the history to Smyrna. You know, nowadays so much history is being lost to the bulldozers and to development of the communities. And we just didn't want this part to be lost. We're going to try to set up some type of cleanup for the gravesite, the family cemetery. We've got in touch, as Mike said, with the Sons of Confederacy and the Civil Air Command, and we're going to try to get that taken care of, as well as we're going to try to do some things. What we've kind of got in the works, or at least for myself, is we're going to try to put together maybe some type of short film, if not, you know, some type of full-length film on the story of Sam Davis as well as DeWitt Job. Sort of trying to bring that history back and put it in the forefront of people's minds again. Back in the late 60s, Sam Davis was brought back to prominence by a story that was in the Nashville Banner, which is no longer in Nashville anymore. But, you know, and so it's kind of been lost. A lot of people that live here in Tennessee, even though we have the statue of Sam Davis on the state capitol hill, we have the beautiful home here and the old plantation. A lot of people have lost that, and we're wanting to bring the prominence back to it. Mm-hmm. And with DeWitt Job, there's really not much that is has markers or historical significance anymore. Because the few things that we have are, you know, thank goodness for the internet. That's, you know, kept it alive. But we want to put it back out there, and we want to try to show some recognition and some pride in his service for the Confederacy and the way that he passed. We're going to be having a meeting we're going to be setting up in March, I believe the 9th, out at Giles Creek Church out near the old Job home, and try to get some of that history passed along. And if we can do that, then that'll assure us that, you know, for at least a little bit longer, that this history will be passed. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, before the internet and before television, all this was oral history. Unless you were a very affluent person that could have education where you could learn to write and read and things of this nature. And so, like I said, we just want to give back to Smyrna. This is our hometown. Me and Mike's got a lot of pride in it. You know, we've seen it from a very, very small town to where it was almost defunct. From where Seward Air Force Base had closed down, it almost become a ghost town. And now it's become, you know, a very large city, and we just want to bring some pride back to it and some history.
Greg, when you hear, I don't know that I'd characterize Mike as a young guy, but a younger guy taking some interest in the historical value of something that happened in the Civil War, Gosh, we've got to continue that on. Having those young people that are interested, I guess my point is, it's going to take that for it to continue, you know, when you're gone, and we're here to kind of continue that legacy.
It's very encouraging to me to see young people like Mike and like Al. I don't know what that does to me in terms of not being a young guy, but
When I think of history and you hear people talking about history in the historical society, what is the average age? You know, and to get some younger people involved.
Those of us that have retired and done what we had to do and now have time. But I think in the last 5 or 6 years, it's become a very popular hobby, I guess you could call it. There's been a resurgence of interest in our local history and what really happened here and why is it we are what we are and who we are. And I've kind of ridden that wave for the last 5 or 6 years. I've had a column in the paper that apparently is fairly well read. And the membership of the Rutherford County Historical Society has grown rapidly over the last couple of years. And and I should, while we're talking, what there is in the way of good, I think, reliable documentation of D. Job and his history is in some of the publications of the Rutherford County Historic Society. And there's one in particular publication that has letters and oral statements from his family, descendants and such, and a rich resource. So those who really want to know more, the Historic Society has Homer Pittard and Mabel Pittard, both of them aggressive historians back a generation ago, wrote and researched it. And I know when I wanted to refresh my own recollection of some of that history, I was able to go back into those documents, and they're available to anybody who's interested. The Rutherford County Historic Society is online. Simply put in Rutherford County History and you'll find the site for the website for that, and all these are available.
Our guests today, Greg Tucker, Al Anderson, John Moore, and State Representative Mike Sparks. John, you had something that you've been scribbling notes over here, so I'm going to let you talk. Pull that mic up just a little bit closer now and tell me a little bit about what you're writing down there.
Well, here at the Sam Davis home in the museum, we have the Confederate Medals of Honor for Sam Davis and for DeWitt Smith Job. There's a book, Valor in Gray, that has it's all of the people who received the Confederate Medal of Honor. They're the first two in there. And the medals, if you come out here to the museum, you can see them.
You can actually see them here?
They're on display in the memorial room.
What do you think, I want to go back to this younger generation in history, because the movie Lincoln that was out and so very popular in theaters, it was very well done, I think, but a lot of young people went to see that movie, and there was a lot of interest in a Civil War era movie. I mean, it was one of the best movies of the year. Why was that?
Well, one of the best results of these anniversaries is it folks' attention. Of course, we are in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, which will continue during the period of the war.
How do you say it?
Sesquicentennial, I believe. Glad to help you there, Mike. But also, it was the 150th anniversary, that's an alternative way of saying it.
That's true.
Of the Emancipation Proclamation. And I think one might have led to the other, but the timing of the movie was very appropriate, you know, with these anniversaries going on. And I think, you know, we have the first black president, which has focused a little more attention on the black history. And black history, although we argue about who should be honored and who shouldn't be, black history has a very significant period right now as well. And I think all of that has been encouraging a look back, even among the school kids and the younger generation.
Well, it's been interesting to see in history coming alive. And to me, Mike, I don't know what you think about this, but the internet has done some really good things about how it kind of brings history to life with videos, with you know, with hands-on types of animations and things of that nature that really make history fun and come alive. And that's something that we weren't able to do before just by reading.
Well, you know, just case in point is Al's got his video camera here now and recording Greg and John here. And one show we done, Brian and I done about, 4 years ago was with at the airport with Steve Fitchue. Remember? Mm-hmm. And it's out there talking about his service. Now, Steve's passed on now, but we've got it on video. We've got Ernie Johns on there talking about the Corps being taken, you know, taking their old farms, and Toby Francis. And so that's a good thing about the internet. You know, we can capture some of these stories, and this could be passed on to my sons.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a way to capture the imagination and the mind of kids. You know, my kids are 13 and 10, and you know, it's got to be something that really captures
this. I'm just surprised that Hollywood hadn't done a story on this guy's life, because there's so many elements here. You know, I think, John, didn't you tell me there was a lady that wrote a romance novel or a fictional novel? Can you want to elaborate on that?
A friend of mine sent me an email, asked me if I'd heard of this book, and it turned out that I was quoted in the promo.
Wow.
I had given a talk several years ago. Dan Whittle was there, and he took some notes and put an article in the journal, in the news journal, and somehow or another they picked this up, and in the promotion for this historic novel, they use my quotes, or Dan's quotes.
Dan quoting you, and they used what he wrote about what you said.
To promote a book that I'd never heard of.
That sounds like a fair thing.
You don't read romance novels?
Very few.
Well, you know, you was asking about what's brought this back to the younger generations as far as the history is concerned. I think that some of the events that's happened in say, the last 20 years here in America has really brought back the pride in America. And I think that's what's really, you know, these younger generations have heard the older generations talking about things of that nature. And it's really, like you said, with the internet, they hear these things and then they get to thinking about it and they're like, wow, let me keyword this. And they pull it up on the internet. And it is some very fascinating stories.
Well, Al was sharing with me, I mean, this whole story, now, Greg, you're the county historian here. You correct me if I'm wrong. I can't imagine a better story out here than this one right here. And Al was telling me what happened to the guys that executed him.
Yeah.
Let's take a break before we get into that. I think that'd be kind of a good way
to
end up on the show. And we've got to slip one more break in here. So let's do that. Greg Tucker, Al Anderson, John Moore, State Representative Mike Sparks, as we continue North Rutherford County edition of Rutherford Issues from the Sam Davis Home. Stay with us.
This is Freda Morgan with First National Bank in Murfreesboro. Please come by and see us at 2230 Mercury Boulevard, or give us a call at 615-494-4200. We'd love to have you in our bank. We'd love an opportunity to work with you one-on-one and give you the customized banking services that you deserve. This is Freda Morgan with First National Bank in Murfreesboro. First National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Shop today at Haines Chevalier Hardware for your sleds, toboggans, and metal runner sleds. This is Rich Schmidt inviting you to save at Haines Chevalier Hardware during our 90th anniversary. Winter's cold weather has arrived, so make sure you're prepared for whatever comes your way with sleds. When it snows, come to Haines Chevalier Hardware for your sleds, toboggans, and metal runner sleds. This is Rich Schmidt inviting you to shop today at Haines Chevalier Hardware. We have a wide variety of metal runner sleds, toboggans, and saucers. Haines Chevalier Hardware, on Memorial behind Reeves Hayne Drugstore.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete, 223-9500. The best quality cement and stone products for your driveway, patio, or any concrete project. We'll get it to your job on time. Your successful concrete project starts with Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete.
Hello, it's Sheila at Ryan Flowers and Gifts. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. We have a lovely display of roses, fresh cuts, arrangements, We have diamond cut glass for some of our vases. We have some vases that come with a necklace. Stuffed animals, chocolates, and anything you might need.
Hello, this is Sheila Moffitt Fabry from Ryan Flowers and Gifts.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Please give us a call at Ryan's Flowers and Gifts at 117 South Academy Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on Rutherford County's Place to Talk, WGNS AM-FM.
And we welcome you back to the Sam Davis Home as we continue. Brian Barrett here on Rutherford Issues along with State Representative Mike Sparks and our guest, Greg Tucker, Al Anderson, and John Moore. And let's go back, Greg, what kind of refresh our memory right before the break. What was the question that Mike had asked?
Mike brought up a very interesting aspect of the story about what became of the Yankees. They were 15 in the group that captured him and were responsible for his death. Let me let John Moore tell that part of the story.
They tried to say that Sergeant Taylor Temple lost his mind, went mad. It's not so. He lived to be 77. He went back to Ohio. He was a farmer. He was a highly successful farmer. They found him dead out in the field. He apparently fell off his horse or something. But anyway, Dr. Homer Pittard did a lot of research. There's, at the Gore Center at the college, he had written letters to Ohio trying to find out all he could about it. And I've got right here his death certificate.
So he died in his late 70s?
Yeah, 77, I believe it was.
And a diagnosis of insanity back in the 1800s would be pretty difficult to appreciate. That illustrates how, you know, a story grows, and it seems likely because what they did was criminal. What they did was inhuman, you know.
No trial.
Nothing of that sort. And it's the enlisted, you know. Sam Davis died at the hands of the senior officers of the, you know, down in Pulaski, according to procedures. This one was obviously a crime. But Sergeant Temple survived, and from what you have, he was a very successful farmer back home. But I suspect he was haunted by...
Apparently, he just put this behind him after he got home.
Now, you wanted to say something about D. Smith. Who is D. Smith here?
Okay, DeWitt Smith Job was the one we're talking about, was the scout. He had a first cousin named DeWitt Smith.
Is it DeWitt Smith or
yeah,
is it DeWitt?
DeWitt Job's mother was a Smith.
Okay.
Okay, so this DeWitt Smith, or they called him D., he went out and killed as many federal soldiers as he could.
He walked from the contingent he was with when he got the news and went out on his own as kind of avenging.
There's about a year in his life that they can't find, so he might have been scouting, he might have been whatever, but anyway, there's in his military career, there's about a year that they can't find him.
Yeah.
At one time, he killed as many as 15 with a butcher knife. He caught them sleeping. And we know that he killed a total of about 50.
So he killed out of anger and revenge for the death of his cousin. Then.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And not on the battlefield. He was sneaking into camps at night and taking his toll.
Wow. Now, this story, I mean, where can we get more information? You know, I know that Mike, obviously, and Al had found this very interesting, and where can we find more information about Job, this whole story here?
It's on the Internet.
Just do a search for Job, J-O-B.
DeWitt Smith Job. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of what I know, when I was a lot younger, I used to go and talk to some of the old people. And they would tell me. In fact, a lot of the family would not talk about it. It took a while to get them to really tell.
Mm-hmm.
One of the stories they told about D. Smith, he caught two federal soldiers, and his gun was empty, but they didn't know it. He went up to a house, and the man's wife was there. She cooked him breakfast, and he made these two soldiers sit on the porch. He went to the fire, molded some bullets, and loaded his pistol, took him down to the road, down the lane to the road, and shot both of them, pinned a note on them that this was part of the revenge for the death of his cousin. And an old lady that was my grandfather's cousin told me this, and it was at her mother's house where it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that was my understanding of what happened with D. Smith.
Yeah.
Was that sometimes he would leave a note and sometimes he would not. Mm-hmm. Like you said, just kind of a signal to the Union troops that what had happened and you know, that he was taking revenge for.
Mike, we got to wrap up here, and just want to say thanks to everybody who came out. Pretty interesting show. Well, I know we only scratched the surface. But
I'm just surprised a movie or something hadn't been made about this story, and maybe something will culminate from this show right here today.
Well, we've got a lot of information here and a lot of folks who can give some good background, and maybe you could play DeWitt Job in the movie.
I'll leave that to you. You're younger than me, right? Well,
a lot younger, but we may need someone a little older. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show today. We want to thank all of our guests for joining us. I want to thank Meredith here at the Sam Davis Home for having us, and our guests Greg Tucker, Al Anderson, John Moore, and State Representative Mike Sparks. Stay tuned. We've got Clark Howard coming up next at 11 o'clock. See you back tomorrow morning at 10 for Rutherford Issues. So long, everyone.